Paul, we dropped the gloves now. It's over. This is like we're
talking about the drinking game that I broke for my tea.
What?
I broke the drinking game.
So this is a thought that came up actually schmoozing with Charlie just earlier in the week. I wanted to remind myself to speak about this inyan. And again, this is not a shir. This is a schmooze. This is a conversation. So I'm sure we're going to get at it. It's not as controversial as a couple weeks ago. But this is definitely a topic.
Ben's been wait. Oh, he should be here. Is he here for Shabbos?
I didn't see his talis this morning.
Okay. All right, he'll hear it.
So, need some help in this inyan. I'm going to just lay down the following yesod. And this is a very, very wide inyan in Avodas Hashem. And it touches upon something which is very much related to Kiruv HaChaikim, but also to Kiruv Kroivim. And I think that you all agree that we're on this journey. When we speak about in these parashiyos about Yetzias Mitzrayim, Yetzias Mitzrayim is relevant to every single one of us, every single day, because if it wasn't, there wouldn't be a mitzvah every day of Zechiyos Yetzias Mitzrayim. There's such emphasis on Zechiyos Yetzias Mitzrayim. And in Pnimius HaTorah, we consider and we see always Yetzias Mitzrayim as being the beginning of a process which will culminate with eternity. But even as we continue to enter into Goliuses and to be redeemed from them and to fall back down to be redeemed from them, Yetzias Mitzrayim and Zeichi Yetzias Mitzrayim always stays in its place. It's not going anywhere. It's a mitzvah in the Torah, how you define it, is it a raisa or not, whatever it is. We have a mitzvah every single day, twice a day, to be zeicher, to remember Yetzias Mitzrayim. And for that reason, it's constantly, daily, relevant to us as a people, as a community, as individuals as well. And of course, every single person has his own Mitzrayim, because Mitzrayim just means his own constraints. There's something which is holding us back. And so there's this power called Yetzia. And just B'derech Remez, of course, Tse is a very famous gematria. It's gematria, Havai, and Adnos. These are the two names of Hashem. Adnos, that shame, is also gematria Makkah. But the Makkahs came from the shame Adnos. And Havaya was the purpose, that it was this shame of Havaya, V'yadatim k'ni Havaya, V'yadatim k'ni Havaya. That through those Makkos, Paro said to Bnei Yisrael, Tse ata v'chol ha'am. Tse was the code word which meant to say that Havaya in Adnos has thrusted you out of Mitzrayim. Everybody has their own Mitzrayim, and we're all on the same journey. Just when it comes to that Mitzrayim, everybody has a different constraint, something which is holding us back. And the question we have to ask ourselves is that we sometimes know what's holding us back, sometimes we don't know what's holding us back. If we do Cheshbon HaNefesh, then we might know. If we don't do, then we probably don't know. And it's not always so important, because if a Jew is being davik to the actual most important part of Avodas Hashem, which is Torah and Tefillah, then that's a recipe for success. Because when a person is mispalo, he doesn't necessarily need to be mispalo for that davar. And that's why Zechiyas Yetzias Mitzrayim is not something which we do outside of the framework of Tefillah. It's built into Shacharis. It's built into Ma'ariv. Because what Chazal are telling us is that the Ikar Yetziyah from Mitzrayim takes place through the Tefillah you're davening now. The Ikar Talmud Torah which we do every day is Shema Yisrael. The Gemara Menachah says that when a Jew says Shema Yisrael twice a day, he's always says Mitzvah, Talmud Torah, Shema Yochai. So the Ikar Mitzvah Dima Torah is Shema Yisrael, and therefore built into Shema Yisrael is the Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim. And we say Smichus Gula L'Tefillah. That has to roll right into the Tefillah, because we need to carry Yetzias Mitzrayim into Tefillah, that these things, Yetzias Mitzrayim is sandwiched in between Torah and Tefillah. And that's supposed to take us out of our own personal Yetzias Mitzrayim, whatever that may be. But the question is that if we're going from Torah to Yetzias Mitzrayim to Tefillah, what is taking place? I'm leaving Mitzrayim and I'm becoming what? What is the transformation? What is the process? What am I achieving through Yetzias Mitzrayim? So that's the question on the table. So I think the place to begin is that we have to try to sum up what is the journey of life. What is, and it's not a small question, right? It's hard to sum up such a big thing. But one of the beauties of Pnimiyas HaTorah is that Pnimiyas HaTorah, as expansive as it is, it always has ways of simplifying things. The tzaddikim used to say, and they still do say, that the Niglas HaTorah is really the Pnimiyas HaTorah, and the Pnimiyas HaTorah is really the Niglas HaTorah. Because Pnimiyas HaTorah has a way of making everything seem, when a person sees it, he looks at it and he's like, whoa, this is so simple. It's so simple when you say it this way. There's so many psukim in Torah that you have to say about it, that it's a doichik, and it's hard to it's a shver pshat, and you have to squeeze it in. When we shine a lens or a flashlight of Pnimiyas HaTorah on psukim in Torah, it reads k'min chomer. It reads like, this is exactly what it's saying. I sit so many times with my Rebbe, and he says pshatim, like very beautiful, such sweet pshatim on psukim, and then you look at it and you're like, this is not Pnimiyas, this is pshat. This is exactly what it's saying. This is exactly what it's saying. You just simplified everything by saying it that way. You may have these experiences also. So therefore, Pnimiyas HaTorah gives us the understanding of the journey of what Hashem Yisbarach wants from us in very simple terms. And I know many of you, we've discussed this many times, have felt a certain uneasiness with what's called the Pasha Pshat and Avodas Hashem, which is, okay, you're going to do mitzvahs and you're going to get tzchar. Lest you do avarice, you're going to get whacked. And that's what it is. There's nothing for you in this world. Everything is for the next world. Hayom la'sayisim u'machal l'kal b'scharim v'zeo. And you say to yourself, then what's in it now? What's in it now? And of course, the answer to that question is, there's much more than that. That's the pshat in what we're doing here, is that everything is an investment for the next world. But as the Rambam writes, that may be okay for people who are katni hadas, but for a person who's a mevakesh, who's searching for a godless hamoichin, for something more, that he knows that you don't just find the Ribbono Shel Olam in the next world, and you can't find them here? Is that what this suggests? There's no enjoyment in this world? Yet the Torah says, Tachas Asher Le'Evadat, Asher Melech HaBesimcha Tevleivav, that simcha is because I'm just investing in the next world, but there's nothing for me here? Can't be. Because the real Olam is this world. This is the real Olam. You know, the Kotzker was once... It's the Alma D'Sheker. In the Chitzonius, it's the Alma D'Sheker. You have to work. You have to work hard to find the emes in this world. But the emes of this world is called the emes lamitai to the next world, which is just called emes.
And you mentioned in the Shabbos here a bunch that the real Shabbos take a yidim. They would take Shabbos over Olam Ba.
That's right. They take it in this world. So there's more in this world because we can't go into the details yet. But this because the Shekhinah is in this world. The Shekhinah is in this world is a bigger world.
Is it that the Nefesh HaChaim? Closer, here's some chelik le olam haba.
Versus be olam haba.
Yeah, because I think the Nefesh HaChaim is saying that le is access, be is a place. Mm. So you know, olam haba really is available.
Yeah.
In a way now, you can't access it because you're blocked by your body.
That's right.
There's no like you're not going to die and go to like a Pesach program for the rest of your life. You know what I'm saying? It's not like this is it. It's olam haba.
With you speaking, right?
Yeah, right. You know, like you float up and like, wow, there's a pool in this food, and you get a sweet because like you know you were good, but like this is Olam Haba. Usually we can't access it because I'm a body. I got this. I got Gaiv. I got Kina. I got all this stuff that's getting in my way. So mm-hmm. what's in front of me?
Mm-hmm. And we can't access it. But.
We're not accessing it.
Right. Yeah, like the Baal Shem Tov says it. Everything is right in front of us. Just that we have our finger in front of our eyes.
Right.
Our finger is in front of our eyes. Like such an amazing bar. Like our finger is in front of our eyes. But you know that's what the tzaddikim said. The Gemara brachas, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, Olamcha sira bechayacha. That was what he used to say. You should see your world in this world. In this lifetime, you should see your world. Rabbi Nachman writes very clearly, Ein bin olam hazeh l'olam haba and el klum. There's no difference between the next world and the next this world. It's the same thing. There's only one world. And the reason why it's called olam haba is because it's going somewhere. coming somewhere. It's coming to this world, and there's a merging which is taking place. This is called merging of companies, like big mergers. The reason that all is just a simon and just a gilei of the amazing merge which is taking place of this world and the world to come. There was a vart with the kotzker. The kotzker was once walking. He was poor, and there was a yid who picked him up in a very lavish wagon. And he said, they were schmoozing together, and they discovered that they were old friends. And they went in the same cheder together. And the Kotzker and him were schmoozing. And the Kotzker said to him, so now that I got to know you a little bit, so where's your Olam Hazeh? Where's your Olam Hazeh? So he said, the man was confused. He said, look at all of my riches. Look at everything I have. He said, where's my Olam Hazeh? You're looking at it. Mm. So he says, no, I didn't ask you where your Olam Haba is. I asked you where your Olam Haza is. Hmm. What you have is your Olam Haba. That's not your Olam Haza.
What does that mean?
You're taking the next world in this world. Oh. And that you forfeited your eternity for this world. So I didn't ask you about your Olam Haba. I asked you about your Olam Haza. What we're striving for is more than just Schar V'Einish. Because Schar V'Einish to a penis person is just bachutz. That's just the discussion which takes place outside of me. But thinking people are in the world of be, not in the world of do. And we want much more to become something than to do something. And all the mitzvahs are there in order to recreate us. Not to recreate us, but to be magala who we essentially are. To become something. That's what the mitzvahs are for. To become something. And the first thing that we need to become is ourselves. Now we've begun this discussion now. Is to become ourselves. If I wake up in the morning and I go to the mirror and I'm looking at myself in the mirror and I look at the mirror and I'm like, how do I look today? And I think to myself when I look in the mirror, that's me. Then I'm in Mitzrayim. I'm in Mitzrayim. Because Mitzrayim means a confusion of who the self is. We don't know how to be mavchin between what a Jew is and what a guy is. Like when Klai Yisrael left Mitzrayim, the Yam says, what are we doing? We're opening up for this people. Halalu avdei avodah zarah, halalu avdei avodah zarah. And it was only because Chazal said that they were Shalei Mishanu Levusham, Lushalanu Lashayinam, but it was very hard to differentiate between a guy and a yid, if not for these things. We live in a Mitzrayim today, which is Galus America, which is working so hard that a Jew should not know his royalty. Like we said in Parshas Yisrael, V'atem tihumli mamechas kahana v'goy kadosh, that if we look like them or we talk like them and we go to work in the same places as they do, even though we're keeping Torah mitzvahs, if we have this havamina, that a Jew is similar to a guy, then we're in Galus Mitzrayim. We have to know so deep within ourselves that there is no connection at all. And we've said this before, and I don't want to rile anybody up, but the truth has to be said. Like the Sefer Kuzri says that there's four madrigas of creation. There's a doimim, there's a tzomeach, there's a chai, and then there's Adam, and then there's Yisrael. There's Yisrael. And then Adam and Yisrael are very far from each other. And it could be said that the difference between a guy and a Jew is much, much greater than the difference between a guy and a rock. And a Jew has to believe that b'lev shalem. It means to say that the guy has more of a relationship and a connection to the rock, to a rock, than he does to a Jew. Prove it to you. You say after every Shabbos, you'll say Hamavdil. You'll say Hamavdil mikodesh l'chol, bin or l'choyshech, bin Yisrael l'amim. Could there be anything more different from each other than or and choyshech? I said. Could there be anything vastly different than or and choyshech? And you say about that, Bin Or L'Choyshech, Bin Yisrael L'Amim. Klai Yisrael's Or, And the Gemara Choshech. Choshech zu Yavan. Shehech shichu inayim shal Yisrael. That the Yavanim worked very hard, just like the American community does, society does, that you shouldn't be able to tell the difference between a Goy and a Jew. That's what a Misyavin is. There's no such thing as a Misadim, or a Misbavel, or a Mismadai. There's a Misyavin. Misyavin means that Yavan wants the Jew to know, same culture, we're the same, we don't need to exterminate them, we just need them to know that they're the same as us. And if we think that if we walk the same streets as they do, we take the same subways as they do, we speak the same language as they do, that there's any relationship because of that, that there's any gzeira shava whatsoever, then that's galus. We have to know with certainty. We have to believe, b'emunah shleima, that there is no, there is, how can you compare infinite to something which is finite? A Jew is a chelek alakamima. He has a neshama inside of himself. As soon as you explain it that way, that you're a piece of the infinite, ki chelek Hashem amoy, there can be no greater difference possible between something which is infinite and finite.
So that's not for everybody.
No, that's only
just, by the way, I'm just repeating because you're having this interesting discourse, I believe, with that young man who got upset at you.
Yeah.
And they go, oh, God, yeah, yeah. Every time I hear about it, you have to do this.
Mm-hmm, it's okay. No, but Vayipach Ba'ap of Nishmas Chaim was given to Adam.
Yeah.
But Gemara says very clearly, Atem Kriyam Adam.
Huh? There was at the end, there was an extra that was Shamur.
Yeah, there's many ways to explain it. You can call it the Chitzonius and not the Pnimius of it, but the Gemara is very clear. Atem Kriyam Adam, Ve'ein Umas Adam Kriyam Adam. That darga called Adam, which is Adam Mishan Koydam Achayit, was only given to Bnei Yisrael. And really, had Adam produced and not had been Chayit, then the whole world would have been filled with Jews only. It would have been all, there was just one species called Yisrael. But because of the Chayit, there was what's called, the Zohar speaks about this, there's Adam and there's Adam Bliya'al, there's like different dargas of Adam. There's the Chitzonius Adam, there's the Klip of Adam. What's clear, Balatanya says at the beginning, is that all of the neshamas of the Goyim come from this Chitzonius Adam. And only the Jewish people come from the Iker Adam. This is Aleph. Aleph is that the Yetzias Mitzrayim means that a Jew knows that he's a neshama. Now, this next topic is going to be as follows. This is something which is not well known, but in the discussion of neshamas, every single person has two neshamas. Two neshamas which are one. Every single one of us has a neshama, which you could say about that neshama, that's me. Me and not you. So, as soon as I go from, you know, this is obviously conceptually going from being Josh to being Yoshua, let's say, that I'm not living out of this gashmius place who I think I am, this physical place, but from the spiritual place, and I identify myself as being a neshama, I can't say, Ani Moshe. Can't say that. Because you're Moshe. I'm Yeshua. So every single person has a neshama inside of himself which is unique to him and belongs to him only, and that's who he is essentially. That's who he is, identifies himself as that. That's step number one. And that's also godly, by the way. There's a godliness to that. It's a piece of Hashem, it's a neshama, but it's the piece of me which belongs to me, which Hashem gives to me, and he says about that, I'm giving you your own elukos. So therefore, everybody who stood at Har Sinai receives a neshama, which you can say about that neshama, that's me, and the guy next to me, that's not you. You're somebody else. And that's why we talk about 50 mentions, the Zohar says, of Yetzias Mitzrayim, which correspond to the 50 days from Yetzias Mitzrayim until Matan Torah. Because the culmination of Yetzias Mitzrayim was Matan Torah. And so therefore, there may have been a Yetzias from Mitzrayim which took place, but the completion of Yetzias Mitzrayim didn't take place until you left Mitzrayim and you became now what? That took place on Har Sinai. Now I became me. That for those 50 days, I was searching for myself and I didn't know who I was yet. All I knew was that I wasn't a Mitzri. But now, how do I know who I am? That was by Har Sinai when Hashem says, Anoichi Hashem Elokecha, he gave every single person their own individuality, which is also a Chelek Alakamimah. So you could sit here and say, Ani Chaim. You could say, Ani Moshe. That was given to each and every one of us by Har Sinai. That's the completion of Yetzias Mitzrayim. That I know that when I look in the mirror and I look at this physical gashmius this thing which is not me, and I understand that I am something which is much deeper than that. That's who essentially I am. And I live by that. It's not just something which I think. I live by that. And it's a very big mechai for us, of course, because if I know that I'm a spiritual being, I'm not going to do things or identify myself with what a physical being does. So for example, right? What are the highlights of my day? What are the highlights of my day? Let's say a classic day, right? I wake up in the morning, I go to Shacharis, and then I jump on the train, and then I go to work, and I come home, I spend time with my family, and I have dinner, and then, I don't know, whatever I do, any recreational things, I look back at my day and I say to myself, what are the highlights of this day today? What made this day worth living? What can I look back and say about this day? I'm glad I did that because it made a difference today, or it made a difference in my day. If I look back at the day and I was like, you know what? I'm really glad I went to Cork and Slice because I really enjoyed that that pasta. It was amazing. If I say that about my day, that's what made my day a highlight, then I may know conceptually, I'm not giving musa. I'm talking about things which I mamish, I'm no shaykhs to. And you're gonna laugh and say, no, I mamish, we're all striving for these things, mamish, we're striving for these things. But if I look back at the day and I say to myself, that's what I look back and I look back and I was like, that was my highlight. Then it's sad for us. It's mamish sad for us. Because we're living in a society today where we can go to shul to daven and we can pick up a sefer and we can learn, we can have dibuk chaverim. There were times in our history that you would die. A Jew would die for doing these things, for even attempting these things. And we could come to a beis medrash, we could wake up early, we could have a seder. Look at the svarim in this room even. There were some communities where there wasn't even a full set of shas. And they had to share gemaras. We have all of Europe here. We have all of... everything. Every single tzaddik, every flavor we have. We have it in English, we have it in Spanish, we have it in every single language. We have it on our phones. It's in our pocket everywhere we go. So if you look back at our day and we're like, I went through a shacharis, I went through a mincha, I went through a ma'ariv, I don't even consider that as even on the scale of things which I feel about those things that was a highlight today. So the first thing that which will identify for us a meaningful Yetzias Mitzrayim is this Matan Torah every day that we're shaykh. Like we say in Kriya Shema, we say Ashranechi Mitzavcha Hayoyim B'chol Yoyim Yubeinecha Kachadoshim. Every day it's new, and we say that in the middle of davening, right before Zeich Yetzias Mitzrayim, like in the thick of things, in Shema, right before we daven the Shemona Esrei, because that's the Matan Torah experience every single day. And we should be halavai in a place that we should be able to look back at shacharis every day and to say, that was my highlight today. Like I told you the story already more than once about the Rebbe, my Rebbe. That's what it should be. Ideally, that we're living in a society where such a thing as shaykh, of course, we're being pulled with all different types of dimyonis of what the Welt considers to be life. We get sucked in because we think that they're mandalmars. We get sucked into the Hollywood, into the commercials, and just walking down the street, and our friends who we know that we were once friends with them, and how they pull us down because when we look at all many types of reasons, just the whole Tumas Avir of America, and not just America, everywhere in the world, the Tumas Avir conditions a person to think that way. The fact that we breathe in this air, as opposed to what's called the Avira de Eretz Yisrael, but even in Eretz Yisrael now doesn't have the real Avira de Eretz Yisrael. It's just, we're living in a world where there's just a very heavy tumah, and we have to work against the tumah. It's not even so much, we know the demyonis, we know that it's sheker v'hevel, many of us, we know it, but just that every breath which we take pulls us down. When we come to that hakara and we attach ourselves to that, then we can honestly begin a journey, which is called Ani Yoshua, whatever, Ani Yaakov, whatever it is, that we're on a journey to that place which is called Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's Aleph. Now, Beis is going to be the next step. The next step is going to be, and this is really where things get pushed a little bit. There's an experience of Matan Torah also, which is the second chelik of the neshama, which is really that every single one of us are one. And we all share a part of our neshamas, which is equal. and this is what makes us Am Yisrael, is that although personally I may be Yeshua and I could say Ani Yeshua, and that's referring to my neshama, which is my personal neshama, I have a neshama, a chelik of my neshama, of which I could say about that, Ani Havaya. Ani Havaya. Don't be scared, everybody, to say that, Ani Havaya. You say it every single day at davening. And you see it, you know, in Yizrei Chitzim, you say, Ani Hashem Elokechem HaShem Yisrael. Chazal wanted you every single day to say those words, Ani Havaya Elokechem. It's part of the liturgy of the Seder. Ani Havaya Elokechem. You'll say it again. Asher Tzeis Yisrael 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 Ani Havaya. You say that about it. You say those words, Ani Havaya. Now, a person who doesn't have Shaykh Yitzapim Yisrael will say, what? That's blasphemy. That's kfir. How could you possibly say about yourself, use that name on yourself? How could you say that? Teret is that Hashem said I can. Says the pasuk in the Torah, ki chelak havaya amo. Doesn't just mean that Hashem chose us as a piece of Him. That's not how the tzaddikim types the pasuk. Ki chelak havaya amo means that we are a piece of havaya. Like the Gemara says in Baba Basra, daf ayin aleph, daf ayin hey, that la'asa lava, every single tzaddik will be called havaya. Will be called havaya. And we'll have to explain, what does that mean for Hashem? Does that mean that we're like stepping on His toes now, that we're becoming havaya? We'll get there. But every single Jew is a piece of Havaya. So you could say almost about this, that you have a first name and a last name. So Lasa Lava, it'll be like, hi, I'm Yeshua Havaya. Maybe, hi, I'm Shaul Havaya. That'll be your last name, because that's like a husband and a wife. They share a last name, right?
Would Charlie Havaya work or no? I have to go to Shaul. Okay.
Well, nowadays, you know, sometimes you wipe something on the...
Right.
Exactly.
That's what it is. It's just that when we become one together, like a husband and wife, they become one. They're like, okay, we need something to show that we're one, so we'll choose a name. Right? So we're going to take Hashem's name because He's the Chassan and we're the Kala. What that's going to mean, Rabbi Say, is that when Hashem gives us Havaya, and He gives us that as our last name, that means that He's going to have a new first name. He's going to have a new first name. And the Sfarim speak about that, that La'asalava Hashem's name won't only be, and I say only in parentheses, but it's true, won't only be Havaya, but it'll also be the Shem Yihyeh. The name of the Melech writes that in Parshas Yisrael. He mentions that from the Mekubalim, but that's Pshan Pasek. Vayoyim Hahu Yihyeh Havaya. Yihyeh Havaya, that Havaya will become Yihyeh. Actually, the Shaykh is the Parshas Shkalim, believe it or not. Vayoyim Hahu Havaya Yihyeh, that Havaya will become Yihyeh. That will be a Shem Kaddish. But be that as it may, the process that we're journeying on, which is the process of becoming, means going from this dimyon of who I think I am to becoming who I really am, which is my essential neshama, and then even going deeper than that, because the deeper recesses of the neshama means that although personally, when I come in contact with my neshama, when I taste it for the first time, so then I now know who I am, Hashem Yisbarach says, don't stop there, because you're even more than that. You're not just a chelik elakamimah because of who you are personally. You run even deeper than that, and you believe it or not, and this is why we struggle in Amunah, because Amunah, what does Amunah mean? Amunah means something which is hard, which your seichel can't understand, that it's hard. The biggest struggle which we have is, could this really be? That's what we're struggling with. Could it really be this great? Could Hashem really be this great, that He can give us a piece of Himself, and He could say about every single one of us that you're Havaya? I think there's even like a books which have been written even in the chadarim of the from What If I Were God? Is there such a book like that?
Yeah, Ari Kaplan.
Ari Kaplan. I never read it.
Yeah.
Never read it. I don't know if he talks about this. But the idea is that these philosophical questions of like, what if I were God? These types of questions which are like very scary, like Pnimius HaTorah has all the answers to that. And the answer to that question is like, yeah, you know what? You don't even. What if you were God? You are a piece of Hashem. But what happens is that when you do that, you can only do that if you keep pushing Hashem higher and higher. If you keep pushing Him higher and higher. Because if a person just thinks that Hashem is like this is what God is, and that He's finite, then yeah, you can't say that you're God because you're just stepping on His toes. But if you are constantly pushing Hashem greater and greater and greater, so then there's no end to His greatness. Sorry. There's no end to His greatness. So that's why I keep saying believe it or not, because that's where Emunah comes in. Emunah comes in is like, however great you think Hashem Yisbarach is, He's even greater than that. And there's no end to how great He can make you, because in how much he wants you to become with him and merge with him. And this is the whole Derech HaMelech, by the way, that we've been speaking about. The whole Derech HaMelech is going from the relationship between Eved to Melech, Eved to Adon, Eved to Melech, and then what was next? Ben to Av, right? And then husband and wife. And then it's just complete bittul with the Ribbono Shel Olam. Like, you just become that thing. You just become that thing.
But isn't it a paradigm shift? Like, could it be that what Bederach Pnimius, and I'm only asking Bederach Pnimius, and I, the whole guy, you know, we spoke about this before. I'm American.
Yeah,
I just can't even
it,
like.
But, it is, yeah.
but let's assume that maybe we can talk about it metaphorically for a second. That if I live in the world, let's for a second take away like this person is A and this person is A. But just conceptually, if I live in a world where what is governing my world is comfort and the things that the Umos HaOlam are engaged in, if that's who I am, then I'm still living in Mitzrayim. If I daven in Mitzrayim, I can't possibly be in Olam Haba because my actions are at the level of, we would call it, Yisrael, but my Mitzias is still one rung in a world of Umas Olam.
Uh-huh.
So, therefore, if I ever want to get into Olam Haba, it's not about my going through my day and living as a Yisrael. It's, unless I leave Mitzrayim and identify myself with this, I will never really taste what it's supposed to feel like. So I could be a firm Jew my entire life and be planted in Mitzrayim, my paradigm is still that I'm in Umas HaOlam,
yeah.
And as a result, all the Yiddishkeit that I do is really just going to butt up against the true essence of myself, which is I really want to be comfortable, and I really hope there's no tachanun today, and I really can't wait for El to be over already, because then davening gets to be 35 minutes. And at the end of the day, if the Eibush said, I'll give you all the pranos in the world, don't daven to me, I'll miss mincha. Versus, I need to identify myself with, I need to be here.
Mm-hmm.
So if I have to work and I have to eat, I don't want to get to a place where what I do all day is the comforts of this world. And the challenge, I think, is that Mitzrayim at the end was pretty okay. I think Mitzrayim gets a bad rap. Like, I'll explain to you what I mean. Meaning, like, I think the whole, like, we were enslaved, so we ran out. I don't know if, I think at the end, slavery ended, we had a lot of money, and we were in the center of the world. So the Yidden were like to, that's why I think 80% didn't leave, because the Yidden were like, it's not that bad here. This is your shear, right? Dustin and Aviram were like, whoa, what are you doing? We already won. Like, just stay.
That was the last year, maybe, of the Holocaust. So, for 210
yeah,
they years.
Got, yeah, it was Holocaust, for sure. What I'm saying is that when a Yid was faced the end of Mitzrayim, he had to go to a place he never knew before. Mm-hmm. And in that place, he was like, whoa. I'm okay now.
That's right.
Like, we won. I can live. My kids can go to school. Power's not going to mess with us. We're ready on the Congress. Like, it's okay to be here. And Elmosh is like, whoa, wait a second. We can become a Yid. They go, no. I like... So really what the task is, you've got to go to a place that you've never been to and be willing to say, it's going to feel different, but if you go there, you're never going to come back.
That's right.
That's the struggle.
But that's it. What it is that we...
Just trust me.
Exactly. You got to go to a place where you say, I'm going to be a neshama. And every party is going, are you out of your mind? Like, why would you be a neshama for? Like, the goof is so good. All you got to do is be a little more of a goof.
Right.
And that's what you really want.
And of all places, where does he take him to? The midbar.
Yeah, so, to get out of that.
But that's the paradigm, right? Isn't that it's
that's
really,
exactly
you have to leave good to become great.
That's right.
You're not
leaving bad. And then I'm afraid it's not good. It was the worst thing ever.
But you don't know that because
you
have no frame of reference.
Right. So how do you help someone that doesn't want to be helped?
You don't know that it's there.
This is
the conundrum. You've never experienced it. Meaning, maybe for a second we've experienced like a taste of what it means to be a neshama. Maybe for like 3 minutes by like Hashem Elokim. Or maybe like at a vart. Mm-hmm. Maybe you've had, or you see a tzaddik. Mm-hmm. And like, or... So like, there's like a whiff of like, oh my gosh, you can have this. But for most of us, myself included, myself at the top of the list, I have never really experienced any sustainable period of time of being a neshama. Most of my life is a goof. And I come up maybe for air if I'm lucky. like if I could be on. But most of my life is being a goof. I grew up as a goof. I'm trying to be a goof. And now what I'm hearing you say is, whoa, whoa, whoa. You live in a Mitzrayim your whole life, my friend, and you're never really going to get out. Because at the end of the day, you're really not – I mean, maybe you'll be nice to me for a second, but, like, you're really not a Yisrael. How do you think you're Yisrael? Like, you don't even have a Yisrael name. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're really – I'm not going to say – again, I say Umas Ha'olam. Like, you're really Umas Ha'olam.
I don't think we would say that, because as long as someone's trying to get out, they're already a step ahead.
No, I think what you're saying is – stop kidding yourself.
If someone's trying to get out, they've already
taken it too far.
Fine. Okay, but you have to be trying to get out. You can't fake yourself out. You can't say I'm trying because I daven shacharis. Trying means I am actively working to identify myself so that my pleasures in my life are spiritual pleasures. Not, I had a good chakras, I learned a little bit of Torah, mm-hmm. I give some tzedakah, and I pretend on Shabbos that I'm not connected to this world, and I go to bed at night and I go, I'm a good guy because I don't steal, and I'm good to my wife, blah, blah, blah. That's not trying.
You're saying you're keeping your begad, and you're keeping your lashonos, keeping your shamos, but at the same time...
Stop, I'm in Mitzrayim.
80% are in Mitzrayim. Even though they're doing everything.
Exactly.
They're still in Mitzrayim.
That's not cynical. I'm just cutting along the line. It's missing the point. I'm with you.
Harry disagrees.
Okay. If Ben was here, we'd say I'm doing great. So Ben, if you're listening to this, I appreciate it.
80% of the people who were doing all of those things, and they're still in Mitzrayim.
If we can I be straight? If honestly, if we could just be straight, because Friday is the Friday. We can be straight now. It's like Zomer Shabbos, right? We're done with the whole week of like we're doing. You have to be straight. We have to be real. If you go to bed at night and you're real. And you say to yourself, am I in the 80 or am I in the 20? I think most people put themselves in the 20, but they're in the 80. Just be straight.
I think some people don't even realize that there's something to get out of. Like, that's the scary part.
We need a better definition.
A lot of people don't even know that they're in Mitzrayim.
Exactly. That's exactly right. Because they don't realize that the people in Mitzrayim, I think they were like as frum as everybody else was. It wasn't like the guys who left at 20 were like super frum. Why else would the Yom Tov not opening?
Right.
They had this. The only difference is that the people in the 20 said, my identity is in the midbar. That means I'm willing to be uncomfortable. I'm willing to do whatever the rabbi says. I am willing because my identity doesn't belong there. I think most Jews that are even from, and they're wonderful, and I'm one of them. So I'm not even saying that like they say, like you say whatever you want, it's like it's your best friend. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm what, I think if we're really being like to the core honest, the chiyus is in our lives. We're worried about Parnassa. What you think about during the day is like, did it work out at work? Mm-hmm. We hope our kids and our family's healthy. Like, what gets us crazy isn't Mashiach, isn't the Rabbonu Shalom, isn't it? It's not. Someone says fast for Shovim. We're like, are you out of your mind? Fast for Shovim? Like, I'm not fasting for Shovim because, why? Because I don't want to be uncomfortable. Not because, and then they say, because the Hasidic world today, we don't fast. Stop. Do me a favor. Hasidic world will say, like, you know, the 50 things that the Hasidim do, like, we don't do that either. We'll pick and choose whatever the easiest thing to do is, because what we want to say is, find me something that'll make me feel comfortable and make me feel good about myself versus, I'm in Mitzrayim, let's be real, and until I can make the decision that my identity is now in the midbar, which I don't know what that feels like, mm-hmm. and I may be really uncomfortable for a very long period of time. Your Rebbe said that he spent 2 years of his life in pain because he felt nothing on the inside because he was willing to walk to the midbar and say, I don't care. But that is real. And until you go from the paradigm here, which is good, to zero and hopes for great, mm-hmm. we're still not living, we haven't hit Mitzvah Mitzvah. That's what I'm positing.
I'm asking, and I'll just add to that point, before Moshe jumps down our throats, I'll just add this though, is that there was no davening in Mitzvah. So Moshe had to leave Mitzvah to daven. What do you mean there was no davening in Mitzvah? And you know, one of the things that Paro said was like, why do you have to go into the Midbar? You have a Matan Torah you need to do? Do it here.
Right.
Just do Matan Torah here. Right. Whatever you need to do in the Midbar, just do it here.
There's a conference center now. Go for Shabbos.
But the answer is that if you're living a life in a time like they had that year, so then that's not called davening. And that's not called Torah. Torah is not supposed to be like the life which I'm living. You know, let's find a way. Let's squeeze in a Matan Torah a little bit. Let's just squeeze in davening a little bit. It doesn't conform to that world at all. What davening is that davening is an opportunity every single day to make me godly. Torah every day is an opportunity to make me godly. It's supposed to bring out my neshama. It's supposed to make me godly. If it's in the framework of my day where there's like this mixture of chol and kedusha, and I'm like, yeah, I'm doing the chol now, I'm doing the kedusha now, and it's just has like this big yerbuv. That's like an Eitz Hadas Tevura. I'm sorry to say it that way, but we just have to know what we're aspiring for. Not this. We're not coming to down anybody. We have to say certain truths so that we know like how to use the tools that Hashem is giving us properly. Hashem says, like Shaul said, it's not like you're living in Mitzrayim and like you're using these things. That type of davening is not called davening. The type of davening which Hashem wants us to experience is like we do every day. Davening, the whole framework of davening is in an inyan of Yizechi Yitzchiyas Mitzrayim. Like you're leaving Mitzrayim. Don't bring davening into Mitzrayim. Don't bring Torah into Mitzrayim. The whole inyan is that when you leave Mitzrayim, you'll have davening. When you leave Mitzrayim, you'll have Torah. Because Mitzrayim is supposed to confine a person. It brings Mitzrayim in a person. Right? And it confines... Oh, I thought he was being agreeing with us.
Yeah. It was exciting too, yeah. Right? I thought so too.
It's supposed to confine a person to hold him back and to say, you're not
then
that.
There's no
plane
coming
you're not. You're not godly. You're not a neshama. You're not all these things. No. Davening is supposed to be an experience of a neshama. Davening is not like we're davening for our parnassas. That's not what it is. Our whole minds are that. It's supposed to be that it's an attachment to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Torah is an attachment to the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's why we had to leave Mitzrayim to do those things.
But isn't that a way or method to get you out of Mitzrayim?
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lo Lishma goes to Lishma. That's right. But you're right. The pathway out is do in Mitzrayim. Keep on doing. But if you're not going to... And I don't know if I'll ever leave, but I'm just being straight. Like, I don't know if I can leave. I'm so into this. Like, I don't know.
It's a shift in perspective.
But
it's like,
that's it. That's but if we never get there, you're always in Lo Lishma.
And learning of my day is on a pedestal. And that's called attachment to Ribbono Shel Olam. That's what it is.
Yeah, it's a different mindset.
So let's say it's on a pedestal for us, and we care about Shachris, we care about sitting and learning because we know that's pure Dvekus. But taking on what Charlie's saying, when you have that like anxiety of stress from work or anxiety from things in the world, like how do we balance the two where davening and waking up early and that. The first 3.5 hours of the day is
amazing.
Like
question. Amazing
beyond
question.
Beyond everything.
So,
and then
it could
when a Jew knows with certainty, he has a moon in himself that he's a chelak alakam imal, all the stresses go away. You know why? Because you don't have to make sure that things are taken care of. The world serves you.
But it's only if you don't live in Mitzrayim.
Huh? Well, there is no godliness in Mitzrayim. What do you mean?
Oh, so that's what he's saying.
When a Jew is in that place that he dahers, that he's a chelik al kamima, that he looks and he's like ani, what's your Hebrew name?
Israel
Shmaya Alter. Ani Israel Shmaya Alter.
Let's go with the first
it's
one.
It's gonna be a hard one.
let's go with the opening one. Israel. That's a great one. Let's go with Israel.
Yeah, that's what I am. I am Israel. So it's not just a concept. When it becomes like a person's mahus, a person needs Torah and Tefillah to get to that place. But when he reaches that place where he's ani Yisrael, and then he's a chelik alakam imal, you think the Ribbono Shel Olam needs to worry about his parnasa? Does a chelik alakam imal really need to worry about his parnasa? Doesn't need to. It's only because Mitzrayim dupes us into thinking that we're just like them. So then, if we're in the bottom of the if we're the Adam of Sheishis Mebereishis, that who was the last creation, like the Medrash says. That a guf is created on the sixth day of creation, but the neshama was created on the first day of creation. So if you're a guf and you're on the sixth day of creation, then everybody else is on top of you. So then, yeah, you're going to be worried about your panasa. But if you are that which was created on the first day of creation, then you're on top of the world. Everything is here to serve you. That's why many tzaddikim, this is how they live their life. They don't open up a siddur and they look at the bracha, baruch alein, and they're like, I need parnasa from this bracha. They don't even think about it. They're just like, listen, if I'm a chilek alakami mal, if I'm an Hashem's chosen people, if I'm his son, he takes care of me. You know what I got to do? I got to take care of him. They look at this broken world, that he wants me to be a shutev with him in fixing this world. So like the Rosh Hashanah says, he says, if you look at the bracha Shemana Esri, a tzaddik has a totally different interpretation of those brachas. He's not davening for himself. Everything is about the shechina, about the shechina, about the shechina, about the shechina.
I just want to take it out. Kuyachal.
No, you can't take it out.
No.
The Sfarim won't let you. We gotta have that in.
This might sound crazy. It's almost like when they take out the certain bakashas of Kol Ufua, Kol Baruch Aleinu, certain things from Shemona Esrei to daven in a real way. Because personally, I hit that bracha, I hit that Rafa'inu, I hit that Baruch Aleinu, and I'm like, okay, you know, this deal better go well, this person better get
And you're
better.
Totally entitled for that.
Entitled, but you're there's entitled a certain, like, separation of it's not, you know,
so go back to Mitzrayim.
There's like, hey, yeah,
but only if you're in Mitzrayim.
Good to be makedah. No, good, but to begin, to be striving for higher hasagas and fila. Higher Suggas and Tyra. Moshe, you have to say something. It's, yes, it's too quiet.
Yeah, it's time.
Does that mean you're masking?
No. He's waiting for the jury to settle in. Oh, counselor.
You know, dumpster fire is like forming for
it's 4 months, it's over.
I'm not masking. There's 12 years ago, during the dinner, or 12, whatever, Rebbe gave the following marshal for this world. He says, it's either from the Kotzke and the Baal Shem Tov, and I know that's very different, but there's a ladder put into this world, you know this, you must know this. I think this was before most of you were in age, well, I don't know. So there's a ladder that's put into the world, and then a Shema is thrown down, and then the ladder's pulled back up, and then the Shema is told, come on back up to me. That's what the Rabban Shalom says, right? Just come back up to me. So you have people who say, what are you talking about? Can't do that, and they leave right away. And then you have people who, you have neshamas, that say, all right, says I'm supposed to come back up there. There's no ladder here, but there must be a way that I can get back up there. And so they start jumping and they're doing whatever they, you know, they build the migdal or whatever, and it doesn't work, and then they give up also. And then there are those, and I think, with, you know, all the denigrations that those who often speak here have about themselves, is then there are those who just never give up. They jump up, and they fall down. And they jump up, and they fall down. We jump up, and we fall down, because we understand that that's what the Ribbono Shel Olam wants from us. And that takes a million infinite different ways and shapes and forms of failing and getting back up and remembering and not remembering for a whole year or 2 years and not feeling anything, and then getting back in and then saying, no, Ribbono Shel Olam, I'm with you. It's just not working out so well, and we jump back up. So I think that's, Charlie, what we're all saying. It's just that there's the difference is the degree of consciousness, of sustained consciousness, God consciousness, that we, every one of us on any given day has or doesn't have. That makes, you know, that makes that more hard on one day and makes it a little bit easier with the Siyata Deshmei. Remember, you and I debated this hotly when we were still in the classroom, is I've done the work and I've gotten there. No, you didn't do the work, you didn't do anything. The Ribbono Shel Olam did everything for you. And when you got to the top of the mountain, you realize and you clawed up and your hands are bleeding and you say, oh, finally, Ribbono Shel Olam, thank you, I got here. And they say, yeah, you got here because I did all the work, says the Ribbono Shel Olam. So I think that's the only, yeah. I think there's only degrees in I mean, I think I'm actually agreeing.
Yeah.
What you say? Wow. I'm just putting a more.
This would be a great hug at the end
just,
there.
Yeah, I'm just putting it different. I'm thinking my perspective here is that by hearing what the two of you both are saying, part of it was very depressing in the sense of, oh my God, I'm just so far away. But at the end of the day, the Ribbono Shel Olam is made. None of us are ever going to give up, John.
Right.
And I think that's, to me, that's how I get my chizuk, that okay. You know, I'm okay.
Can we talk about it for just a minute in the context of children and specifically adolescent boys?
Don't touch them.
How it works.
Hold on. Don't worry about adolescent boys.
I'll tell you from experience.
Just don't make them crazy. I'll let the rabbi decide.
Don't wake them up for your
Shabbat. Adolescent boys, leave them alone.
Yeah. It really depends. Every child is different. Some of them hear this concept. Let's say just the basics. This is the yesod of what we're talking about. I just want to go back to the yesod. The yesod is that there's an everlasting journey of finding self, and the journey will always be moving closer and closer and merging with the Ribbono Shel Olam. This merger is the eternal merger, and that we will always be merging with Hashem Yisbarach, and that's called the Shem Yichakut Shabuchu Shchinta V'Tchil Yichim V'Shem Kho Yisrael. We say that and we'll forever and ever say that. That's a nusach which will go down in history as like the most important nusach, which is why it was hotly debated, because that's forever and ever Hashem will be perfecting His Yichud, and because there's no end to infinite achdus. So, but this is the journey. It becomes, I have to leave Mitzrayim and identify myself as a neshama, and that's who I am. Ani Yoshua, Ani Chaim, whatever it is. And then I have to go deeper and understand that I am, no, Ani Havaya, I'm a piece of Hashem. And then you go even further than that. You can go further than that, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is really higher than Havaya. higher than Havaya. And don't let anybody tell you that's blasphemy, because it's not true. Because that's exactly right. Hashem is Baruch is, like the Zohar says, L'mal mikol shman. Hashem is higher than every name. Like the Ramchal writes that even if we say Hashem Echad, that's just the best way to describe him. But Hashem Echad, you can't even touch him as Echad. He goes beyond that. Beyond.
But that's true by definition. Because as soon as you try to attach a human or even a God, a Hashem-given word,
that's right.
Then you're putting a finite label on something
that's right.
That's not.
That's right.
The Kalim for some people, this.
Huh? Mm-hmm.
You need the Kalim for this.
Of course, yeah. See, Baruch Hashem, Moshe, and for many of us here, like we're saying things where like they should be, and it's an accomplishment to say things like that and to be like, that's Dvarim Pshutim. Like, I know, like we have enough of a chinuch to know that how great the Ribbono Shel Olam is, but believe it or not, we're living in a society where Yidden don't know the Ribbono Shel Olam. We don't know. We don't even know the difference between Havaya and the other names. We don't know what Havaya means. We don't even know that there's something even more than Havaya. We're exclusive in that we've been zeichet to have a chinuch to know these things about understanding who the Ribbono Shel Olam is. But that's not so pashut. I would be very cautious about getting up in a room of any of the shuls even down the block and to speak the way that we're speaking now without turning it into some controversial topic. I would never. But that's the thing. These are the things that the world needs to hear. These are the truths that need to be spoken. But as soon as you put them into words and you speak about them because they're higher than words, so then the world of words and the world of confinement it takes issue and it's up in arms with us because we're trying to take a Ribbono Shel Olam and to speak about him in ways which go beyond and to bring him into this world and to say there's no stira. We're talking about the truth like we said last week that the world can't handle such truth. And so we have to get into small rooms like this and to discuss it in ways where we feel like, you know, but this is the type of reality that's going to hit the world, which is going to shake up the world when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Anoich Hashem Elokecha again, and the whole world is going to say, what? You're this great? This is, but yeah, he's, but if Matan Torah, and this is really the process of Rabbi saying, and we'll end with this, Yetzias Mitzrayim means going from who I thought I was to who I am, which is Ani Yoshua b'chule b'chule. Matan Torah, the cherry on top of Matan Torah is that Hashem says, you're also Ani Havaya. You're also a piece of Hashem. I'm giving you a piece of me. Chelak Hashem Amar. There will be a Matan Torah again l'Asalava. It's not going to be a different Torah. It's going to be the same Torah that Hashem is going to reveal all the secrets of his Torah. Like Rashi says in the beginning of Shir Hashem, Rashi says that I can still taste the sweetness of Matan Torah, and I can't wait till the next Matan Torah. You're going to have Torah Chadash Amiti Taisei, that Hashem is going to reveal new depths in Torah, and Torah always means new revelations of Hashem Yisbarach. And you know what that Matan Torah is going to be? Hashem is going to say, I know that I revealed to you by Har Sinai Anechi Ashpaya Lakecha. The next time I appear to you, I'm going to be even higher than that, and that's just going to go on and on forever. And so the process is just greater understanding of Hashem's Yichud, greater understanding of Hashem's Ach. That's what's transforming. You go from Ani Yoshua, Tani Havaya, until even higher than that. And we say that in Shema every day. We're just touching up Shema Yisrael, Shema Elkin, Hashem Echad. Shema Yisrael means you have to know that you're Yisrael. Ani Yisrael. Hashem Elekeinu, I'm a piece of Havaya. Havaya Echad? Echad just means that you're just pushing Hashem even higher than Echad. Taking him even to a higher, higher place. We have this chus to be able to talk this raw truth. But this is the journey, and this is what we're using Torah Mitzvahs for, is to be Megala more elokos, and more neshama. That's what it means, lishma. I mean, lishma has many definitions, but like Hashem says before Matan Torah, we spoke about last week, v'atem tihyu l'mamlachas kehan in the Be'kadosh. That's why Hashem's introduction, the preface to the whole Matan Torah experience was this inyan, that I want you to be holy to me, kikadosh ani, because I'm also holy. I want you to have my holiness. But again, this is something which is a taboo which could be spoken about for adolescents, for kir, for chayking, whatever it is. We want Yidden to know what path they're on. And one of the first things that what could be discussed is that we want Yidden to know, the first thing we need to know, let them know is like who you are. You think that you are Argentinian nationality and your president is this and this is the life which you live. You need to know, no. You are a piece of Hashem. He is your king. You have a neshama which is yours. And when we embrace that, that's Yetzias Mitzrayim. So we should know like where the journey begins, and we're almost, you know, we're on the same journey, really. But we have something which is unique about each and every one of us. What we hope is that Hashem will by giving us Torah and Tefillah, we should use them as the tools and the opportunities to experience a real Yetzias B'Tzayim, which means today for me, that what my Yetzias B'Tzayim today is going to be through my davening, through my learning, through all the mitzvahs which I do, is to reveal that Elokos more and more and more until we're zeichet to that Torah Chadash and to the Yetzias Tzedek.
I think you're being too nice to us. You're too nice.
What sense?
We got to know who we're not.
You have to what?
What do you mean? We're not the mitzvah.
Meaning, I think you're being too nice to us.
Nothing should bother us.
It's too nice.
If
you realize that you're a Vaya, but you don't leave Mitzrayim, you're still in Mitzrayim. You gotta realize that you're not. What?
My favorite part of Shabbos.
Where are you going?
I'm going to Farakwa.
Oh, what's in Farakwa?
No, no, no. Soft isn't
Okay, fine.
Can I say a tester?
Good Shabbos.
I'm not sure if you're going to a restaurant this week. But let's use
Kim, that's exactly the whole shear.
It's Ben?
It's Ben, of course.
Oh, gewaldic.
The coin. It's our coin.
Oh, gewaldic.
That was the whole shear, right?
That's right.
Everything should be full of Kim. You should never believe that you're never far from a Kaddish Baruch, because we're part of this.
That's right. That's right. The whole journey is just to reveal more and more of who we are. That's right.
I was woodworking.
That's right. Get rid of it. That's right. That's right. Thank you, Tara.
Enjoy it so much.
Thank you, Chad.
Petro? What?